There's a popular song from the 1930s or the 1940s which contains lyrics which might or which ought to give a great deal of inspiration to each and every Christian. I doubt if the composer knew of the Church of God, but I believe it was the man who actually made the song famous who appeared at the Ambassador Auditorium in his later years. And that man was Bing Crosby, who sang Count Your Blessings. I wish that I was able to actually get the words to this song. I actually tried going onto Google this morning to see if I could find it, but I couldn't actually get this song. I got a number of other sites instead, which didn't give any hope whatsoever. So we had to make do with one or two quotes that I can remember from this song. One of them is, "Count your blessings one by one." Another one, "When my bankroll is getting low, I think of when I had none at all." And the third one, which I really think is really somewhat inspirational, is, "When I'm tired and go to bed, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I go to sleep counting my blessings." Now, it isn't often that one can look at a song, any popular song, and say, you know, this is or could be inspirational for a Christian. But I feel that this one is really an inspirational song. All right, it's not a psalm, it's not a hymn, and it's not even a biblical song. But it is something pleasant, and it is uplifting, and it is something to which we can all relate. Now, my reason for making something of a song and dance about this particular lyrics, which are 60 or 70 years old, is simply that we need a way of maintaining a positive Christian attitude. And because at times, times are going to become more severe and more hostile, and we do need to be able to keep this positive mental attitude going day by day. And if we count our blessings each and every day, it will help us to develop that positive attitude, and it will stop us worrying about the here and now. We will be concentrating more on what we have and not on what we wish we had. Now, there is not one of us here who has not experienced or is not the beneficiary of some really stupendous blessings. And that is regardless of our situation, our station in life, or our location. You can even disregard ethnic origins and racial strains, because it doesn't matter who we are or where we are all the recipients of some really marvellous blessings. And in James chapter 1 and verse 17, we read of the source of all that we have, the possessions that we have, the freedoms that we have, life itself, our family, the brethren, the calling, our hope for the future, and all the promises that Mr. Bowles referred to last week. In short, life and everything that makes life either bearable or enjoyable comes from one particular source. And here in James chapter 1 and verse 17, we read what that source is. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Many of the blessings we have are beyond value. They are priceless. Knowledge of God's plan for mankind, His laws, His holy days, His promises, knowing that there is no variation in God's mercy, His goodness, His compassion, His love, ought to fill us all with the inspiration that we need each and every day. Knowing that even the problems that beset us at times are designed to help us to develop in us something which is really worthwhile, something which is enduring. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 to 31, we find how this is stated by the Apostle Paul. It is conditional, but then nothing that is really of value can be obtained without some sort of effort of one description or another. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we read the following. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? When we read and reread these few words, we ought to realize just how many stupendous and staggering blessings and promises these few words actually contain. These blessings and promises should be numbered among the blessings that we count each and every day. Vast numbers of people around the world have to scratch out a living not knowing where the next meal is coming from or what tomorrow may bring. But we have another blessing, knowing that we have a God who will protect us and who will provide for us all the things that we need. We don't have to worry. We do, however, have to do our part, and that part is by asking and doing what is actually needed. I would like you to turn with me now to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read verses 7 to 11. Here we find an attribute that is shared by most parents, and that is a reflection of the boundless mercy and generosity of our God. But in the human family, as I said, it is only a reflection. And it is a reflection of the love that exists between God and his creation. It is a love and compassion that mankind is not capable of actually displaying to this particular level, at this time, and at this level. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 8 to 11, read the following. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, who, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? We don't have to worry, and that in itself is a tremendous blessing. But if we are experiencing hardships, we do have to do our part, and that is, we have to ask. If we just turn back a little way to Matthew chapter 6, we'll read just a few verses towards the end of that particular chapter. So far, we have seen that every good gift comes from God. And we have also seen that when we're in need, all we have to do is to ask. And that even the trials that befall us are to develop in us something which is good and enduring. And here, in Matthew chapter 6, and verses 25 and 26, we find another bankable promise. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. Sorry, I started in the wrong verse. In chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much better than they? And we'll just drop down to verses 31 to 33, where we find a better promise than these, and it is really something which we really can bank on. And these are tremendous blessings. So verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These are stupendous promises. They are also marvellous blessings. If we look at the knowledge that we've been given by God through his Son to us through his prophets to us, and through his apostles to us. We see enormous blessings here. And when we look beyond the here and now, we see even more glorious blessings ahead. We see mind-boggling blessings. Looking beyond the here and now, we should be looking to God, our Father, for his unquestionable love, his boundless mercy, and we should be counting our blessings day by day.